That's the holy grail of electrolysis. This is the new discovery that's going to revolutionize this technology, hands down. I have never seen nothing like this before. If I didn't witness the results myself, I would not believe it.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to talk about a very controversial topic, all right? We're going to talk about that mass shooting event in Buffalo, New York recently. Very tragic. I don't like talking about these things recklessly, so I will be very careful to throw a lot of allegedlies in here, because that's what we're talking about, a theory, all right? Because the gist of what we're getting at is one of the victims was a security guard named Aaron Salter. And this guy, apparently, had invented some form of free energy. And we're going to talk about it today because this hits a lot of different ideas. Shout out to, I don't know how to pronounce the name, Drudel St. John. The hardest name, the hardest handle to pronounce on Twitter, actually tagged me and the great Sam Tripoli on a tweet referencing a news article that said that, oh, you know, Aaron Salter, security guard killed in the Buffalo shooting, had invented a car that ran on water. And I thought it was fake news. It sort of had that, you know what I'm talking about, like the seedy conspiracy website URL. And I was like, okay, here we go. Because I'm always fact-checking truthers, because I'm sorry, but sometimes they get it wrong, all right? And I thought, okay, here's some more fake news BS. I'm not buying it. And I read the article provided, but it was on a website that I wasn't familiar with. It might be the greatest website ever. I have no idea. I wasn't familiar with it. It had very truther-esque topics, which always raises my suspicions. And I thought, well, let me look into this a little deeper. And sure enough, wouldn't you know, I found a mainstream media website, the local Buffalo News, that confirmed the same thing. Now, of course, packaged a little differently. So we're going to go through that. We're going to go through some of the ideas. We're going to talk about, I'm going to show you video of Aaron Salter himself talking about the free energy he invented, basically. We'll also talk about Dr. Stephen Greer, who previously, just a couple months ago, talked about the dangers involved with inventing a technology like this and trying to make profit off of it. Crazy stuff going on today. This is a very much an emergency broadcast. So without further ado, let's get into it. Oh, wait, no, there is further ado. You have to subscribe to my new YouTube channel. I know. I got banned off YouTube. I got banned off YouTube back in 2016. They never gave me a real reason why. Well, they suspended my channel indefinitely because I was talking about these controversial topics. And I was using the same language. I was very, because even back then, I was always very sensitive to some of these issues, right? And I started a new channel, and it seems to be working okay. And I decided, F it, we're going all in. Let's go. So youtube.com/C/IsaacWeishaupt, all one word. I might be shadow banned from the search results. If you try looking for me, you might not. It might not pop up, or you can just try searching for Isaac Weishaupt. I'll put the link in the show notes, or you can go to my link tree, which is allmylinks.com/IsaacW, and you'll hook into it. Now I know what you're thinking. If you're in, because I've got supporter platforms. I got a Rockfin. I got Patreon. I got my IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. VIP section. Tier 2 and higher. And look, over the years, I've had to sort of keep changing the perks you get. And I don't know. Like, I want to give people people support me at these great levels, and I'm like, what can I give them? I mean, to make it worth their time. So I was like, I'll just make videos for the people that are tier two and higher. And obviously you would think, well, that's not very fair if you're giving it for free on YouTube, Isaac. I agree with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put ads on the YouTube version. So my YouTube free feed losers can suffer through ads because they like to punish themselves. And I like to provide that punishment in a weird way. No, I just kid. No, but I will. And in fact, so far I'm finding out, because I'm uploading several older videos, and I'm finding that a lot of them are getting, not blocked, but they're getting copyright dings, and they're going to place ads, but that ad revenue is going to go to whoever owns the copyright of the thing. Whatever. It's a whole thing. I'm not going to cry about YouTube for an hour. Long story short, this is going to be the first new video I will upload to YouTube. And it's going to be on the same schedule, right? Supporters are going to get all the ad-free content on Fridays, generally speaking. Free feed losers get them on Mondays. Or a show like this, which is kind of an emergency broadcast, you know, you wait a day and I'll put it up on the YouTube, right? You get what I'm saying. All right, let's go. Let's talk about... I'm out here in suburban hell. There's a garbage truck. It's loud as hell. It ain't messing around today. It's mad. Now, let's talk about this idea. If you go to Kiro7.com, that's like the local Buffalo news station or whatever, they have an article about this tragedy, right? This Buffalo supermarket shooting thing, right? And look, I don't know all the details about this. I know a lot of truthers are trying to paint this in a light that it wasn't connected to racial hatred. I don't know the answer there. I haven't dug into enough. Apparently, homeboy had a manifesto, and I mean, probably, right? Seems pretty racist. But I don't know the details there. Didn't dig into it. But I mean, obviously, that's a thing that exists in our country, unfortunately. Very tragic. And the one guy, the security guard, or he was on the police force, he tried to engage with the shooter, and he himself tragically killed by the shooter. I'm going to read you from this news article. It says, after retiring from the force, and it goes on, it talks mostly about his police service, and I guess he retired from the police force, and he was a security guard. After retiring from the force, Salter worked on building vehicles that run on green energy and ran a company called AWS Hydrogen Technologies. I'm always working on my vehicles and or my project of running engines on water for the last 4 years or so, Salter wrote in his LinkedIn profile. I'd like to realize my dream of getting cars to run off of water using my newly discovered energy source someday. Right? Well, what's interesting is that he actually was interviewed back in 2015. And I grabbed the clips because I'm worried about it getting taken down, where he talks about this. He talks about this technology that he basically found. And we'll dig into that. But first, I do want to point out the reason we're going to talk about Dr. Stephen Greer is that Dr. Stephen Greer has long been pushing this, because there's this angle of, in the conspiracy world, there's the sort of different flavors of conspiracy topics. And Stephen Greer is more of the sort of liberal granola hippie type theorist that's like, hey man, we should just get the free energy from the aliens and get off of big oil and stop wars and stop fighting. And that's more my flavor of conspiracy kind of guy, right? I mean, let's not talk about Dr. Stephen Greer and all of the strange things that I don't necessarily agree with him on. But overall, I like his perspective, okay? Which is always questioning capitalism, which to me are a great, you know, capitalism is a great system. Don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not advocating for communism. But you have to understand a lot of these topics and these theories are exacerbated and made worse and created even by capitalistic elite systems of people trying to get more power, more wealth, and it never ends. And that's kind of what Stephen Greer's angle is. And on his most recent documentary released this year, just a couple months ago, called Above Top Secret, he talks about this exact topic. And he says, look, you can't, there's people that invent cars that run on water, and you can't keep that technology for yourself and try to make a profit off it. You have to give this away for free as open source technology. You shouldn't patent it. You got to just release it to the public for free. Otherwise, this is what happens. Well, there's a couple things that can happen. One, big oil finds a way to shut you down, whether it's the way you don't want or it's the way that they get paid off and then they get tons of money. And meanwhile, everyone else is still on the same hamster wheel. But we're going to talk more about that in a minute. Let's finish this news article first. Salter Jr.'s son, Aaron Salter III, had worried about the type of attack that killed his father, the Daily Beast reported. This is something that his son wrote on Facebook in August 2019. Quote, if I hear another story of some... I'm just going to read you the way it is. If I hear another story of someone mass shooting innocent people, or like yesterday, the 20-year-old in Missouri who went to Walmart with an assault rifle and 100 rounds and recorded himself making comments to people shopping, I'm going to lose my mind. We can't even do everyday expletive without having to watch our backs, and that's scary expletive. The sad thing is I feel like a crazy close to home is going to do something soon, and I'm not ready for that. Now, how tragic is that, right? His own son was scared of this happening, and he had a premonition almost. He says, I feel like a crazy close to home is going to do something soon. I mean, what are the odds, right? And I'm not going to say that he manifested that into his life at all, not even a little bit, right? But there's this idea that I present in my second Alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1. Sorry, first Alien book, Use Your Illusion 1. I talked about it on Chris Jericho's show. Check out Talk is Jericho with Isaac Weishaupt. We talk about the alien agenda, and I talked about this in the book, the idea that thoughts become belief, become reality. Now, that's not a theme I came up with. That's a phrase I came up with. I'm sure someone else has used it or some derivation of it. But it's the idea that our world is not what it seems, right? On a quantum level, there's a lot of strange things that can happen. And in some ways, you can create your own reality. And I'm not saying he manifested that, but there's something with the unconscious, you know, Freudian superego level that, you know, this, it's worth making note that this is very strange that that would happen. And that's all I'm going to say. Like, I oftentimes try to be careful with my language because words are magic in a way, right? The spoken word. When God created the world, that's how he did it, through the word, the logos. The thoughts, the mind of God, whether you want to believe in Christianity or some of these occult teachings, it's kind of the same. The thoughts of God, the emanations of the mind, manifested through the blue chakra of the voice. These words went into the ether sphere and caused actual reality. This is the Kabbalistic tree of life. I mean, it says it in the Holy Bible. Anyhow, Aaron Salter, right? Let's talk about who this guy was, because there's a video on YouTube of him being interviewed, and I got some clips I'll play. But it's about a half hour. I watched the whole thing, took some notes so that we don't have to listen to the whole thing. Here's a guy, he asked Aaron Salter, he's like, hey, what are you, a scientist, a chemist? What did you study in high school? And he says he went to a tech school and a four-year college, even though he was one credit shy of graduating the college, I guess, is what he says. In 1988, he joined the police academy. Probably not the fun kind where they were making inappropriate jokes and, you know, what's that police academy movie? Remember that? And the dude used to talk with all the voices. He said, wasn't O.J. Simpson in those movies or something like that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But Aaron Salter says that he had actually built a solar collector to heat his whole home. So he had some experience doing this kind of stuff. And he had, at some point, bought plans online of using electrolysis in his car, in his truck, technically. And, you know, electrolysis is the idea that you use electricity to separate molecules, particularly in water, right? So, like, water is H2O, and the idea is you can separate the hydrogen from the oxygen and use that as a form of energy, a conversion, if you will, of energy. And he says, look, man, and he even says, like, there's energy companies that have been trying to figure this out since the 1800s. Like, this has been going on a long time. And there's a lot of issues with it. You got the laws of thermodynamics, which apparently, I don't know this, he says, apparently it's like the idea is you can't separate the hydrogen from the oxygen fast enough for it to be utilized into energy. Or if you do, it creates too much heat. But he says there's this holy grail of energy that everyone's trying to perfect. And he did it. That's what he says. And he talks about deuterium water, which apparently has more hydrogen in it than normal water. And that's what they use at nuclear power plants and all kinds of stuff, right? You can really nerd out on this stuff if you want. But apparently he bought some plans online. And he suggests in a weird way that he's like, look, I know people are trying to do this. But in a weird way, if you read between the lines, he's saying that it is eventually suppressed. That's how I take it, but that's based on my Stephen Greer previous thoughts that were embedded in there. So I'm gonna play the clip and you tell me what you think.
So what I started doing was, as I put current through it, I realized it produced heat, like the laws of thermodynamics says. You know, the experts are pretty comfortable. The oil companies are pretty comfortable in knowing that there's not going to be many people that's going to be able to split it fast enough. So I realized that if you're going to run a vehicle on water, that you need, it's got to be a system, okay? It can't just be just putting voltage in a glass jar and splitting it fast enough. So I took approach of, you know, you need a cooling system, you need a circulation system, more like a system that you can attach to a vehicle. Of course, I have mine on a 2004 F-150.
He calls out big oil. He says the oil companies, right? So this isn't just some nerdy chemist guy who's trying to figure it out. He also sees there's an angle here that he needs to be concerned about, right? And he talks about how he inadvertently found out he was able to run this vehicle after the electrolysis process. That's the new form of energy. Because the idea is that, yeah, running off of water with the electrolysis has happened before, but he was able to continue doing it after everything was shut off because it uses like this byproduct of the process, the sludge, he calls it. And he flat out says that he and his system is a brand new form of energy. Take a listen.
Okay, and you stated to me earlier off camera that your system is a new type of energy. Can you explain that to us?
Yes. During this time, it's the residue from the electrolysis. That's why you have a lot of, it's like Stanley Myers, he had something that you could hook up to spark plug, and it took a little, very little voltage, and he said that he could get a whole vehicle to run off of that apparatus that can split it fast enough. So the theory behind bringing the voltage down is that you're trying not to produce what they call sludge.
Okay.
So this sludge that had, you know, that's why people use distilled water. They use distilled water because distilled water doesn't have minerals in it. Okay.
So he talks about how the minerals in the water conduct the electricity, right? I don't know if you ever did science experiments. I remember doing it as a kid where you had to connect a light to a circuit, and you had water in a cup, and you had to add salt until there was enough conductivity to allow for the transfer of electrons, the current, to flow through it. Same idea as how you can make a light bulb turn on with a potato or whatever, right? But he talks about how the minerals in the water needed to conduct it, but that the minerals create the sludge effect, and this new system utilizes that sludge, and that's why it's the holy grail of electrolysis, because every part of the system can be used to convert energy, and all that's left is water vapor. Sounds great, doesn't it? But he says, and this is where it gets super interesting here, he's talking to the host, and he flat out says, this is the holy grail, and I've got a patent pending. Take a listen.
That's the holy grail of electrolysis. This is the new discovery that's going to revolutionize this technology, hands down. I have never seen nothing like this before. If I didn't witness the results myself, I would not believe it. So yes, I'm able to. I can't tell you how I use it. I do have a patent pending.
You want to show that patent to the camera?
I do have my patent. This is the patent pending.
Yeah, put it up a little bit closer to the camera.
Okay, but I will. This is the page that I like to. This is. It's going to be the first named inventor. And I also do have a patent application in. So I'm in the process of going through with a full patent on this.
And
we find out that what he had planned on doing with this disruptive energy source he had figured out how to use, this technology, he knew it was going to be disruptive to the gas and big oil, gas industry, energy industries. And he says that he wants to partner with a company that will understand how valuable this is. And he talks about how the system will be his contribution to society and how this perfected new form of energy that utilizes all pieces of this electrolysis process will eliminate the need for not only gas stations, but even hydrogen fill stations. All right. A whole portion of the energy sector is about to get unemployed real quick. And if you don't think there's some people out there that would lose a lot of livelihood by this happening, think again. Anyway, the interview wraps up. He tells people to go to his website, awshydrogen.com. It's actually misspelled in the show notes, I think. He forgot the D. But if you type it in with or without the D, either way, that link is dead on arrival. So, I don't know. Conspiracy there, maybe. And that's about how it ends. And it's, this is back in 2015. So this is like 6-7 years ago that this interview was filmed. And you think, well, gosh, did it ever take off? Did he get the patents cleared? No idea. Apparently, he was still working as a security guard. So lots of questions unanswered here. But let's talk a little bit about Stephen Greer, and then we're going to wrap it up in conclusion here. You'll notice, if you watch that 30-minute interview, he references a guy named Stanley Meyer. This is the guy in the 90s who built a car that ran on water, who mysteriously was unalived. Try to dodge the sensors. I don't know why. We're going to really test this YouTube channel today. It was nice knowing you guys. The YouTube fantasy lasted exactly one day. So if you go to Dr. Stephen Greer, who's got many documentaries, the most recent one's called Above Top Secret. I, like a sucker, bought this one too. I've given Dr. Greer so much money. I've bought his app. I bought his previous documentaries, and I bought this new one. The new one was a little disappointing. There wasn't a lot of new ideas in there. I don't recommend it. I mean, I'm not trying to mess up his bread, but, just for me, it was kind of like, wasn't a lot there worth talking about. But now there is, of course. Dr. Greer says that the releasing of technology can alter how the entire planet operates, obviously, right? But he argues that the problem is this is too disruptive to the elites who are benefiting from the current energy structure. Take a listen.
And you're not going to be able to do a search on them or even a private eye. It's not going to pop up. These are black projects. So this is why you have to be very, very careful. And when you're dealing with something as important as the fact that we're not alone in the universe, but also the technologies that get them here and back have been figured out, but would completely alter the way this planet operates and the people who benefit from the system. I mean, the average Joe Blow driving his pickup truck who's a carpenter isn't benefiting from ExxonMobil, right? I mean, he has to pay, you know, whatever, $4 a gallon for gas and all that kind of, and the maintenance. If you had these other systems, there'd be no energy cost. So the average person, that's why I said yesterday, 99.99999% of the world's population wants to have disclosure, even they don't know about it. They want these technologies, even though they've never heard of them. But, you know, that's the problem. This is why we have to get the message out. That's why, you know, keep, you know, doing documentaries and educational things, because you have to raise awareness first. And then from there, you can actually make change happen.
So he talks about how in the 90s, he was told about how he needed himself to set up some dead man triggers. So he did that. And he talks about how in the 90s, some of the people on his team, because he was working with a bunch of engineers trying to find some like free energy source, right? And some of the people on his team died mysteriously, and how, you know, now they've implemented this dead man triggers. Things are cool now, right? Well, he talks about Stanley Myers, same as Aaron Salter did, right? And he talks about Stanley Myers, and he talks about how the technology Stanley Myers had was consumed by some other company, some other engineering group, a mysterious engineering group with no name, right? And he told Stanley Myers' heirs, because he died shortly thereafter, that they need to use this technology as an open source for the public. Otherwise, it'll never get released to the public. And they never did that. And Greer goes on to say that some guy in the royal family told Greer personally that his money helped fund the acquisition of Stanley Myers technology, which was obviously later suppressed and shut down. Take a listen.
So we try to put people under that umbrella. This is one of the cautionary tale. When Stan Myers' collection of technologies were acquired by this other entity, and I didn't know exactly who they were at the time. It was not an open situation. They were known only as an engineering group in Michigan. And I said to the heirs of Stan Myers Technologies that whoever gets it, tell them they have to do it open source in front of the whole world. The whole world's gonna be watching this technology being refined, developed, released without any intellectual property for that, without patent. Because otherwise, they're not gonna survive their launch. It'll blow up on the launch pad. And that's what happened. And I got this call a couple years later from Lord, I won't say his last name, in Great Britain, who had ended up being the money behind that acquisition, which is how they were able to outbid my group to get it. And he says, these people are running for their lives. They've gotten the systems running. And these would change the world. But they are looking for an eco-friendly country that they can get to because they're being threatened in America. I said, you'd have to go to another star system. There's no place on this planet where the henchmen of these kind of Fourth Reich fascists won't find you.
So Greer basically lays out this idea throughout that whole documentary about how the Achilles heel of the free energy fantasy, which is on my studio wall right behind me on the big, massive Great Awakening poster, it's on there, the free energy thing. The Achilles heel is the money. People figure it out, and they're like, how can I cash in? And who can blame them, right? You found an alternative to oil and gas? Are you kidding me? You could be the wealthiest guy on the whole planet. But Greer asserts that that's what keeps us on the loop. It'll never get released. You know, think about it. you figure out how to do this thing, and here comes some big oil company, and they're like, hey, we're going to pay you $1 billion with a B for this technology. And then they buy it. You're rich. You're happy enough. And they destroy all the documents because they don't want their money messed up. Now, I'm going to play one last clip, and this is pretty crazy, right? He's talking about setting up a new infrastructure with energy is the plan, right? That's the goal. It's the big goal. Nobody ever goes for that. They always go for the money, the easy cash out. And he talks about how there was an engineering team behind this free energy push, but they met their demise as well. Take a listen.
You need 1,000 companies that are trillion-dollar companies to do it in enough time to save the biosphere. So I said, this shouldn't be about money or power. It should be about the purpose. And you'll do very well by doing good, but they wouldn't listen. Next thing I know, I meet with a guy in Orange County, California, who knew one of the people who was with that engineering team. And the man said this guy came in, was crying like a baby because every single one of them had been killed and the technology vanished, as we predicted. And see, this is what's frustrating, is that for 30 years, I keep running across this opportunity. People keep making the same predictable errors. You're dealing with something that's making a frontal run at the most powerful interests in the world, on the planet, bar none, period. And you cannot have a strategic plan that doesn't account for that. But that's what everyone, so it's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So I spent a number of years trying to work with people like that to satisfy their materialistic view and intellectual property view, and realized it was never going to happen because they kept vanishing or being threatened. Or next thing you know, they're rich, driving a Lamborghini and wearing $5,000 suits, but the technology's gone into the black pit of Calcutta. It's gone. So after, you know, about 25 years of that, I said, no more. There's a certain way this had got to happen. We know how it can happen. And if people would follow that strategic plan, you'd have a chance of surviving.
Now, the theory we're talking about right now, just to clear it up, we're saying that Aaron Salter came up with a free energy alternative, and he was essentially, possibly, theoretically, allegedly, maybe taken out for that. That's the idea. That's the theory, because Stephen Greer said that that's exactly what happens to people that do this stuff. Scary stuff, right? So that leads us down the rabbit hole of, like, is that really possible? Can they really do this? Well, the answer, unfortunately and sadly, is yes. And using actual, you know, mainstream sources, no conspiracy talk here, you can look up, there's a few examples we can talk about. What about Operation Phoenix? You ever heard of that? Go back to the 1960s and the Vietnam War. The CIA had staged murders of people in the Viet Cong to try and persuade other Viet Cong that the Viet Cong was killing their own people as a way of trying to gain defectors over to the other side of the war. And the result is there was torturing, killing, and assassinating of thousands of the civilians over there. Obviously, lots of Viet Cong, but also civilians were taken out. So, yeah, it's possible, right? It's possible. PSYOPs on this level are possible. That's a fact. It's happened before. It sounds crazy. I give you that. And in the conclusion, we're going to re-rationalize everything, okay? Because I'll tell you, ultimately, I don't know if I buy it. I know. We're talking about this for 45 minutes. And you're like, you don't even believe it? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. But I'm gonna float the theory because there's enough here it's worth talking about. So it's possible, right? But anything's possible. Is it probable? I don't know about that. Let's look at Charles Manson and Project MH Chaos. Kind of like, you heard of MK Ultra? How about MH Chaos? MH means it was a global program. Now, I'm going to read you from the great Peter Lavenda. Shout out Peter Lavenda. Never returns my emails. Want to interview him so bad, he could care less. I even had someone who knew him reach out to him. to do my big famous podcast. If you know Peter LaVenda, you tell him to get a hold of me. I've got my biggest downloaded episode ever was 60,000. That's a lot of publicity. Come on. There ain't no schlub. Top 0.1% of all podcasts in the world. I can't get him on here. And it's, I don't know why. Like, I speak about these things, and it's not from a condemnation, judgmental point of view. It's just fascinating information, talking about the occult and the mind and all these different theories. Anyhow, I'll quit crying about it. I just would love to hear what he thinks. Anyway, he wrote this book called Sinister Forces, right? This is book one, The Grimoire of American Political Witchcraft, Peter LaVenda. On page 85, I'm going to read you. Story time, folks. It talks about how Charles Manson was in Chillicothe, Ohio. I'm probably mispronouncing it. Oh, let's see here. So the idea is that Charles Manson was pretty illiterate and pretty dumb up until this point. And it says he became a different person and maintained that identity for over a year and a half. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, Manson himself said, quote, I stopped thinking in 1954 with the idea that something took over Charles Manson in the 50s, okay? John Gilmore, in his critically acclaimed 1971 biography of Manson and the Family, The Garbage People, retitled Manson, The Unholy Trail of Charlie and the Family, says that Manson met a boy named Toby at Chillicothe, from whom he learned hypnosis and mental manipulation. That may be so, but the dates in Gilmore's book seem to be wrong. He is Manson at Chillicothe as early as October 51, but according to Bugliosi, he didn't make it to Chillicothe till September 52. Perhaps it's only a typographical error in Gilmore's book, because October 52 is a very likely date for Manson to have met the mysterious Toby, a person Manson refers to as definitely satanic, and the only person of whom Manson ever speaks in tones of both fear and awe. During this time, U.S. government agencies were conducting medical tests among various inmate populations in America. Their most prized subjects were violent criminals, sociopaths like Charles Manson, whom they dosed with massive amounts of drugs to gauge personality changes, emotional response, and other parameters that have never been revealed. While sworn testimony before Congress in the 1970s is evidence that prisons were used for these experiments, and often the prisoner themselves were made aware of what was being done to them, the identities of the actual institutions as well as the doctors involved, with a few exceptions, are not known today. Blah, blah, blah. What happened to Charles Manson in Chillicothe, Ohio in 1952? Did government experimentation extend from the adult prison population to reformatories for juvenile delinquents? That's the idea, right? Because this book, this ain't a new book. Let's see the copyright. 2005-2011. So, I guess it was reprinted in 2011. I don't know. Anyway, 2011. Well, wouldn't you know it, something else came out after 2011. A book by the great Tom O'Neill, one of the greatest Charles Manson books ever written, called Chaos. And he lays out the idea that everything in Bugliosi's Helter Skelter, the whole mainstream narrative about Charles Manson and the murders and all that stuff, is not the truth. Worse, it implicates the government in creating and managing Charles Manson as a mind control experiment. What do you know? Now, in Tom O'Neill's book, and he was also... All right. Tom O'Neill was interviewed by Joe Rogan a few months back, and he was also interviewed by the great Tinfoil Hat podcast. Shout out Tinfoil Hat. Just recently. So if you're not ready to dive into the book, it's a massive book, and it is dense. If you think you know the Manson case, wait till you read this book. It blew my mind. He talks about the alleged tapes that Polanski and company had. I mean, it's wild. But in the book, here's some gems here and there we can talk about. Tom O'Neill had documentation of Dr. Jolly West making someone actually forget a memory and replacing it with a new one, alluding to the idea that, yes, in fact, MK Ultra and all these other mind control programs, they were actually very successful. As much as they want to pretend that, oh, there was nothing ever came of it. Not the case. And Tom O'Neill, by the way, has been studying this case for many, many years. This isn't just like some conspiracy guy that wrote this in a year. This is a journalist that wrote this over the course of, I think, 20, 30, maybe even 40 years. I don't know. Long time. He talks about how Manson would actually go, because you know the story of Charles Manson. We'll assume you know the story. Charles Manson, while he was in San Francisco, was going to the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic to see two particular doctors, right? And this was the same place that doctors were receiving federal and private funds to study the effects of LSD and speed as it pertains to mind control. And as you know, Charles Manson was using both of those drugs to mind control his family. He infamously would dose all the people in his family and himself not take any of the drugs. What do you think he was doing over there in the desert, you know? In the book, you also find out that Charles Manson was influenced by the novel Stranger in a Strange Land. He named his first son after the character in the book. And this book was, you know, this book could be explained why the government was looking into Charles Manson, actually. It was very anti-socialist. You got to understand, in the 50s and 60s, it was a very conservative forces that were at play, trying to shut down this hippie movement. Communism is the worst thing ever. Socialism is the worst thing ever. So when the Stranger in a Strange Land that had some socialist leanings came about, well, they're like, well, this is the ultimate evil. You know, go capitalism, go America, go traditionalism. But this book, it's all about this human that's born and raised on Mars, but ends up coming to Earth, and he's critical of all the things going on. There's conspiracy elements of, you know, all the conspiracy topics are in that book. I haven't read it, but I read the synopsis of it. Global government, future religion of paganism, a peaceful planet, no more war, cannibalism's even in there, new religions that promoted free sex, which is what ties us into Charles Manson, right? This idea of the free sex thing. And sex is, I mean, that's a whole massive rabbit hole in itself. The reactions and the attitudes towards it are beyond crazy, right? This is just a normal human function. And it's so strange why there's such a weird hang up on it. So much control over it. But Manson would be this whole story of the Manson family would be the catalyst to show how dangerous this new lifestyle is. You know, the turn on, tune in, and drop out. Like, no, that's dangerous. You're going to end up murdering a bunch of folks. It's dangerous. And in O'Neill's book, there's a chapter called Neutralizing the Left, where he talks about how Manson and the Helter Skelter story, it followed the exact plans and exact aims of Project Chaos and COINTELPRO, both of which started in the same month, by the way. These were both programs run by our own intelligence agencies with the objectives to disrupt the left under any means necessary. There were three congressional probes into it. It's a fact. That's not a theory. You can look them up. And one more idea to look at that's actually echoed in the book, and you can read this in several other Manson-type books, like The Family. I think it's even in Helter Skelter, in Bugliosi's Helter Skelter. But allegedly, Manson was trained in Scientology mind control. Supposedly, he was Theta Clear, which is like a high-level operating Thetan. At the O'Neill prison system, he was supposedly with a Scientologist there. I forget his name. But that's part of why he might have been chosen. Or according to Lavenda, maybe this was set previously and they just continued it. That's why he was chosen to mind control hippies with drugs and murder and Satanism and all that crazy stuff. He would call it going dead in the head. It allowed one to absorb messages into the collective unconscious. Using sensory deprivation, you could rewrite someone's mind. That's the idea. And John C. Lilly, a doctor back then, who was, making sexy time with dolphins and crazy stuff, who was researching the mind. They thought it was a biocomputer back then. That's how people looked at it. And to this day, that's how they look at it too. They say, look, humans are very programmable. That's why your phone is addictive. They know what they're doing. It's baked in there. You dummy, wake up. So all these different ideas present themselves in this one simple story, right? Let's wrap it up. In conclusion, are we to believe that this, the perpetrator in this tragic shooting was mind controlled by the government to go and kill this guy because he knew how to make free energy? I don't know. Some people will believe that. I'm a harder sell on that. But those are the elements that support the theory. But there's a lot of shadiness involved here. First off, let's talk about Dr. Greer. He was talking about how this is exactly what happens. And sure enough, it's kind of what happened. But Dr. Greer, you know, I'm not trying to mess up his bread. But he was like, look, I'll teach you how to meditate in the desert and channel aliens and UFOs. And you just go camp out in the desert. It's going to cost you, was it like $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a weekend or something crazy? Like, it was a lot of money. And in fact, he was on the Higher Side Chats, and Greg Harwood pressed him on the topic and was like, hey, man, if you're all about this hippie granola free energy world, like, why are you charging $5,000 to teach people how to talk to these aliens that are so great? And he did not like that at all. Now, to be fair, I got what he was saying, because his rebuttal was like, look, I'm a doctor. I used to be an ER doctor. If you think I can just replace my income talking about alien smack, like, think again. And I get that. So I understand. But that's one thing that I kind of look at and think, I don't know, man, maybe not. Would Greer give us the free blueprint? Maybe he might. I don't know. Now, in theory, it seems like not only is this strange idea possible, but it's actually been done in the past, if you believe a lot of the Charles Manson theories. Would they go to the efforts of doing all that, though, to take Aaron Salter out? Like, if you were trying to discreetly get rid of this issue, like, why would you go through this kind of length? Why wouldn't you just, you know, cut the brake lines or something? Right? Isn't there a more discreet way you can get rid of this problem? I don't know. With Manson, they needed it to be this big public scary thing, and it scared the crap out of everybody in America. So the theory to support that idea would be that they want to restrict the access to the you-know-whats. And again, I'm a pretty liberal guy. I think there's some common sense precautions we could take in here. But, you know, the Second Amendment's there for a reason. And I support the Second Amendment. Not an easy conversation, right? Not an easy open and shut black and white case to me. I think there could be a happy medium in there. But that's just my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. So, yeah, that's the other thing is, like, that's the angle of which they would want to take. What, are they doing a 2-for-1? I don't know. But whatever happened to this new energy? If he made this energy 7 years ago, why would he still be a security guard? Whatever happened to the patents? Did he sell it to an energy company? Obviously not. He's still working. Or maybe he made the money and he was happy doing the job. I don't know. And look, I'm not trying to talk crap about a dead man, especially one that laid his life down to try and protect civilians. Like that, you know. But another thing, I find it odd he was one credit shy of a bachelor's degree. Now, does that play a big role in this? Not really. But I've got a master's degree, and I can tell you, if I'm one credit shy of completing a bachelor's or an associate's or a master's, I'm getting it done. It's one credit. It's not even one class, is it? Most classes are 3 credits. So I find that very odd. It makes me question his whole story. But yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. I don't know what the answer is. If I was to guess, if you made me guess and tell you what I think happened there, I'd say, I don't know if this guy really perfected the technology like he said he did. Now, you don't need a college degree to do this stuff. I get it. It makes me want, I have so many questions. Like, why was he still a security guard? You know, where was this technology? But maybe, right? I could be wrong about all of it. But there you go. That's all the stuff to support the theory. I'm going to lay it out there. You choose whatever you want. Leave a comment, a careful comment on the YouTube there, so we all don't get canceled. YouTube.com/C/IsaacWeisheit. The C is for channel. Why they don't let me just do YouTube.com/IsaacWeisheit? I don't know. That's the choices they gave me. So there you go. Link will be in the show notes as always. Drop a comment on there. Let's get a discussion going. What do you think about all this stuff? You think I'm off base? You think I'm right? You think I'm wrong? You got beef, son? What's up? I got beef. We got Truth or Drama on my Rockfin show coming up here soon. So we're going to get into that. That's a whole nother thing. Anyway, I have to go because guess what I'm working on? Doctor Strange 1 and 2. I'm going to have two episodes that are going to... Look in my eyes. Look in my eyes. If you're on the YouTube, I want you to look at me. We're going to blow your mind when we reveal the hidden hand of the occult and their agenda. And it's worse than you think. It's worse than you think. And they showed it to you in plain sight. A direct metaphor. This wasn't even an allegory. Direct metaphor. Bringing about the eschaton, the end times, the apocalypse, the Scarlet Woman. It was all there. All there. The mark of the beast encoded secretly and covertly into these films. And I'm going to reveal all. So stay subscribed, stay tuned, and most importantly, stay woke.